Welcome to the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church, where the senior pastor is the Reverend Dr. Charles B. Jackson, Sr. Brooklyn has two locations, one church. For more information about all the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, please visit us on the web at brooklynbaptist.org. That's BrooklynBaptist.org. As we prepare for the word today, please reference number 040719. 040719 as we bring you part two of the series, Be Happy, coming from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9. We now join the services of Brooklyn Baptist Church, already in progress. Have a blessed day in the Lord.
Speak positively into the atmosphere. Change your words and shape your future. Let me say that again. Change your words and shape your future. A doctor tells the experience of his patients being depressed because they were facing life-threatening diseases and felt there was no hope. The doctor asked them, has anyone ever survived the disease? The answer was always yes. So the doctor told them, then I want you to start saying, I will make it. I will be one of the people who beats the odds. And those patients obeyed the doctor's orders. And amazingly, many of them not only came out of their depression, but they also made full recovery. All depend on what they spoke into the atmosphere. The Apostle Paul said to the Christians at Philippians in Philippians 4 and 8, which says, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, speak of these things. I shall live and not die. I am a victor and not a victim. I am a conqueror and I am not a captive. I am the head and not the tail. I'm in the word. I live above and not beneath. I am a lender and not a borrower. Speak on these words. Speak on these words. I've come to tell you today that when you follow the plan God has for your life, you can have a happy life. I've come to encourage you today to be happy. Aristotle said that happiness is the whole aim and goal of human existence. Sophocles said, when a man has lost his happiness, he's not alive. Call him a breathing corpse. Mahatma Gandhi said that happiness is when what you think, what you say, and what you do are in harmony with one another. It is the will of God that his children, it is the will of God that his sons and daughters, it is the will of God that believers are happy. In fact, in the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher ever lived, Jesus gave a blueprint. One would follow to live a happy and prosperous life. It's recorded in Matthew 5 when he preached to the multitude in the Sermon on the Mount. The first word that came out of the mouth of Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount was blessed. And that word blessed simply means happy. Listen to him as he preaches happiness into our hearing. He says, happy are those who are spiritually poor, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. Happy are those who mourn. God will comfort you. Happy are the meek, for they shall receive their inheritance. Happy are those who are hungry and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Happy are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, because they will become kingdom citizens. Turn to somebody and tell them, be happy. In 1988, Bobby McFerrin released a hit song, Don't Worry, be happy. It became the first a cappella song to reach number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Don't worry, be happy. And that's what we're saying today as we begin Holy Week and make our way to Resurrection Sunday in 7 days. Don't worry. I know that's easy to say it. Be happy. You see, worry is about like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but won't get you anywhere. Be happy. Put a smile on your face. Lift up your head. Count your blessings. Your good days outweigh your bad days. Your tomorrow is more promising than the pain of your yesterday. Your future is brighter than your past. Greater days are before you than the days that are behind. So celebrate. So we come to celebrate today in the name of Jesus Christ, according to the word and the will of God. Now, some of you remember, if you're not too religiously proudful, you may remember Kool and the Gang. Y'all remember him, don't you? Well, they released a song in 1980 called Celebration. They said, celebrate your good time. Reverend Joe Salmon, you ahead of me there, man. That must have been one of your favorite songs. Celebration time, come on. Celebration time, come on. The song says, celebration time, come on. Now, it's an R&B soul number. But that's what God is saying to us today in this word. Be happy. Celebrate. Celebration time, come on. God gave his only son that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Celebrate, come on. Jesus took the weight of the sins on our shoulders, died on Calvary for you and for me. Celebrate. Come on. They stretched him high. They hung him wide. Spat foul saliva in his face. For you and me, he died. Celebrate. Come on. They took him down from the cross. Laid him in Joseph's tomb. Celebrate. Come on. But that's not how the story ended. 3 days later, he rose again. Celebrate. Come on. Celebrate. Come on. Come on. Come on. Celebrating the passion of Christ. And that gives us every reason to be happy. What are we going to celebrate? Well, first of all, in your celebration or in your depression, we want to celebrate how we want to celebrate the compassionate heart of God.
Yes, sir.
Well, listen to me. We're going to celebrate. We're going to get lifted out of our discouragement and feeling the depression, because we're going to celebrate the compassionate heart of God. It's good news to know that God understands. I've been disappointed. I feel discouraged. And I'm becoming depressed. God understands. Life is a series of problem-solving opportunities. The problems we face will either defeat us or develop us, depending on how you respond to them. When trouble comes your way, when you're disappointed, when you've been hurt, you can either become bitter or better. Your hurt can be defined by a vowel. I or E. Are y'all with me here? I or E. Bitter or better? B-I-T-T-E-R or B-E-T-T-E-R is your choice. You will become better when you can celebrate the compassionate heart of God. In other words, God loves me. I don't understand these experiences I'm having, but God loves me. I don't know why I'm going through this and have had to go through that, but God loves me. I'm hurting badly. I wish there was some rhyme or reason to these experiences, but God loves me. I cannot trace the hand of God, but I'm going to trust the heart of God because God loves me. Let me say this to you. When someone is depressed, don't try and play judge and juror. You know, like you know where the love of God begins and where it ends. Passing judgment, suicidal depression, as if you know the boundaries of God's love, where it starts and where it stops. Our God knows the hearts of his people. Can I say that again? Let me say it again. The God whom we serve knows the hearts of his people. We might look at one's actions, at what one does, what one has so projected of himself. But thank God Almighty, the God we serve, and that's why I'm so glad none of y'all ain't my God. And I know you're glad that I'm not your God, because God looks at the heart of a person. God looks at your heart. You can take your right hand right now and place it over your heart, and you can say, God loves me. You might not think much of me, but God loves me. You can talk about me. You can call me what you want to call me, but God loves me. I've made some mistakes. I have failed at times. I've struggled at times, and even now I got weaknesses. I've got some, but God loves me. I got some faults, and I got some flaws. I have some fallacies, but God loves me. And because God loves me, I'm not going to let nothing separate me from the love of God in Jesus Christ. God loves me. So I can celebrate the compassionate heart of God. Secondly, celebrate the infinite wisdom of God. God knows the end from the beginning. In other words, he knows how it's going to all turn out. He doesn't have to wait for the end to come to know how it's going to turn out. He already knows. We as humans cannot explain ourselves. Man, we don't know sometimes why we do some of the stuff we do ourselves. How many times have you said, why did I do that? Or what was I thinking of? If I knew then what I know now, if I could just turn back the hands of time. Now, if we cannot understand ourselves, how then do we understand God? We have to rely on our faith in him. Coming out of undergraduate school and theological training at Morehouse, I was pretty bad with trying to figure stuff out. And I'm still not completely over it, but I like to try to figure stuff out. When you're a mathematics and physics major, you believe you can figure this stuff out. Right. Just stay with it and work with it. The math problem might keep you up all night long, but the answer's at the end of the book, so you keep working with it. You keep working with it, you're gonna figure it out. So one of the things the elders used to say that I was trying to figure out, and I put it to rest probably about 20 years ago, I understand it now. They would say, he's too wise to make a mistake. And he's too just to do wrong. In my daily devotional this week from Jesus Calling, the writer Sarah Young says, trusting God is a moment by moment choice. We often trust God when things go well, when we see Him working on our behalf. When things go wrong, our trust flow slows down. God says, choose to trust me in all circumstances, the good and the bad, when you're up and when you're down, when you've got some change in your pocket and when you don't know how you're going to make it home because your gas hand is registering too close to empty, when you're up and when are y'all praying up, when you're successful, when you're not successful, when it works out, when it doesn't work out, when your health is good, when you receive an unfavorable report, trust God at all times. Choose to trust Him in all circumstances. As long as there's breath in our bodies, we will have some tough and difficult days. When we celebrate the infinite wisdom of God, we know that when God brings us to it, God will bring us through it. Stay with me, stay with me, stay with me for just a minute. To and through, to and through, to and through. Where there is a to. Let me say that again, let me say that again. I'm trying to bless somebody. Where there is a to, there is a through. So when you feel yourself hurt and disappointed, don't worry. Be happy. He'll bring you through it. Put on your seat belts of the Holy Spirit. Hold on. Don't go nowhere. Watch God bring you through it. There are some Holy Ghost witnesses in here who can testify. He won't let you fall. He won't let you down. He won't put no more on you than you're able to bear. Hold on, because if it come to it, He gonna bring you to it, through it. I'm gonna close in a little while. So when you're hurt and disappointed, feeling discouraged and becoming depressed, celebrate the infinite wisdom of God. Just remember that the preacher said today, to it and through it. And then third and finally, we want to celebrate the unlimited power of God. The unlimited power of God. Tap into the reality and truth of God's power. It is true. God is able. It is a fact. God has all power. Unlimited power. Inexhaustible power. Miss Kathy Shell Owens, mother of Sonaya Jones, who's singing on the Sunrise Chorale, and Sherry Hill, and their husbands, Deacon Mark Jones and Ed Hill. She and her husband Tyrone are dear friends of ours. And though she lives in Greenville, she tries to worship at Brooklyn as often as she can. In 1996, Miss Kathy was diagnosed with a very debilitating form of cancer. The cancer began to spread rapidly. The doctors told Sonaya and Sherry that she did not have long to live. Maybe perhaps 6 to 12 months at the most. And so Miss Kathy, a devout and faithful woman in the Lord, set up a prayer vigil to stand in agreement with her for a miracle. My best friend, some of you remember him, the late Reverend James B. Adams, Sr., and several other preachers from Greenville visited and prayed daily with her. Not just one preacher, other preachers and prayer warriors and intercessors prayed daily with her. She called me and she said, Reverend Jackson, the doctors have given me only a short time to live, but I believe in the power of prayer. And she said, I need you to send up some prayers on my behalf. And so pretty soon, a chain of prayers was set up all over South Carolina. Her primary physician, an oncologist and surgeon, never thought she would live. And I called her this week to get a recount of this story. I'd heard it several times before. That was 23 years ago. Is Sherry in here? Where is Sherry? Sherry, that's Sherry waving her hand. That was... Her faith met with God's power. And she's still waking up breathing God's fresh air. After her miracle healing, the oncologist took note of her prayer life and faith in the power of God. So he told her that after her miracle healing, he began to take much closer notice of his patients. And he began to see that those patients who believed in the power of God and stayed prayed up. Oh, let me say it again. I'm not talking about no occasional praying here and yonder. Stayed prayed up. And in the word of God, did better and lived longer than patients who did not believe. And he went on to tell her because of her, he was going to write a book for his oncologist students on man's faith and God's power. All I'm trying to say is when you have been hurt or disappointed and you're feeling discouraged and are becoming depressed, celebrate God's unlimited power. When a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off the train just because it's dark. You sit there in the dark and trust the engineer. All I'm trying to say, before I wrap this word up today, you got to trust the engineer. Trust him who is eternal and everlasting. Trust him who is the eternal sovereign of this universe. And I want to close this word with the story of a lady that I told you about some 7 years ago who loved the Lord with all her heart and trusted God to the very end. She was a lady who knew that her joy in the Lord would give her strength. And she was determined to be happy regardless of her circumstances. Whenever trouble would come her way, she would jump. Let me say it again. When the problems began to mount in her life, she would jump. When she felt hurt and disappointed and was beginning to feel discouragement, discouragement and depression was about to set in, she would jump. When the burdens began to press her down and her load became heavy and almost unbearable, she would jump. For instance, one day, she was called into the office by her supervisor. And the supervisor told her that the company was downsizing. And and they will have to lay off from work. And when she began to realize that she would soon be unemployed, yet she had bills to pay. The story is that when she began to walk out of her supervisor's office, she just jumped. Several months later, she received word that her house was on fire and burning down. She had to been about an hour away from her home, but when she arrived at her home, neighbors were standing around looking at her home go up in fire. She stepped out of a car, and with both feet on the ground, she jumped. Are you praying with me here now? About a year later, while she was in prayer service one night, Reverend Bassfield, she received a call that her husband had been rushed to the hospital, and things did not look good, so she made her way to the hospital, and by the time she got to the hospital, the doctor came out and said to her, "Ma'am, I'm sorry to tell you that your husband has passed away." She dropped her head in sorrow, but she jumped. And somebody asked the lady, "Ma'am, why do you jump whenever troubles come your way?" She said, "I jump because Jesus understands my problems." Let me say that again. I jump because Jesus understands my problems. The Lord told me to tell you this morning that when you come down to the altar for prayer, ask God to give you jumping grace. When you laid off from your job and the bills are high and the money is low, when a son or daughter becomes disrespectful and is acting out of character, when sickness comes to your body and unfavorable report from the doctor, can I tell you why we ought to jump? We jump because the Bible says, "My God shall supply all of our needs." Jump because God's grace is sufficient for you. Jump because when thou passest through the waters, they shall not, are y'all praying with me? Overflow you. The river shall not rise up against you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither the flame kindle upon you. When the Bible, y'all pray with me here, you can jump today because God says, "Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me." Jesus, put it back up there, put it back up. Jesus understands my problem. I'm gonna celebrate the compassionate heart of God. Celebrate the infinite wisdom of God. Celebrate the unlimited power of God. God is able. Let's stand on our feet as I invite you to Jesus today. Stand on our feet.
This concludes the broadcast of Brooklyn Baptist Church. In order to obtain a copy of this service in its entirety, please reference number 040719. 040719, Be Happy, part two of a four-part series. So make sure you get this one and put it in your library. Give us a call, 803-796-6103, 803-796-6103, or visit us on the web, brooklynbaptist.org. We thank you for all your support, and we pray that you have a blessed and prosperous week in the Lord.